The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
Historically, April 15 has not been a good day. On April 15, 1865, Abraham Lincoln died after being shot in the head the previous evening. Researchers and historians have long debated the claim that John Wilkes Booth was the assassin, and that there was a much darker truth to the story involving a deep state conspiracy that the official history books will never tell us. On April 15, 1912, 1,500 people died when Titanic sank after hitting an iceberg. The story of Titanic has captivated hearts and minds ever since this epic disaster took place. Again, many researchers and historians are not buying the official narrative that this was simply an accident. Why would Captain Smith, a seasoned officer who commanded ships for the White Star Line for 25 years and was planning to retire after Titanic's maiden voyage, carelessly run the ship into a known ice field on a moonless night at full speed? It's thought by many that the sinking of the Titanic was more sinister than the history books will ever tell us. Many of the world's wealthiest men were sailing on Titanic. J.P. Morgan was also scheduled to sail the maiden voyage, but canceled at the last minute. Morgan was the founder and owner of the International Mercantile Marine Company, which bankrolled many shipping companies, including Titanic's White Star Line. But other wealthy and influential men, including Benjamin Guggenheim, Isidore Strauss, and John Jacob Astor, were on board. What did these three men have in common? They all opposed the globalist centralized world banking system and the formation of the Federal Reserve, which was established in the U.S. the following year. J.P. Morgan was one of the main proponents of the Federal Reserve. So were 1,500 souls sacrificed for the sake of globalist greed and financial control? Of course, we'll never know the truth, but considering what the globalists have done since then, the death of a mere 1,500 people is nothing in comparison. In 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution authorized Congress to impose a tax on income, leading to the creation of the Bureau of Internal Revenue, which would become the Internal Revenue Service in 1953. And 2 years later, April 15 became Tax Day. It had previously been March 15, but in 1955, the date was extended to allow taxpayers more time to prepare their returns to accommodate the increasing complexity of tax laws and the growing number of people who were required to pay federal income tax. Taxes have always been a part of life, even going back to colonial days. The American Revolution began due to taxation without representation. England was taxing the colonists on goods we imported, but the colonists had no representation in British Parliament. Today, American citizens are being taxed on everything, with no legitimate representation in our own Congress. By the way, the Revolutionary War was fought over those taxes that amounted to a whopping 3%. Today, just the federal income tax rate alone ranges from 10% for those living in poverty to 37% for those with a higher income. And that's just the federal income tax. We pay taxes on the money we earn, taxes on money we spend, taxes on things we own that we already paid taxes on with already taxed money. Only our government is irresponsible enough to be in the business of forcibly extracting so much money from people and still come out bankrupt. In addition to the federal income tax, we also pay property tax, sales tax, state income tax, marriage license fees, public school taxes, vehicle registration taxes, business permit fees, estate taxes, dog license taxes, driver's license fees, vehicle registration fees, gasoline taxes, gift taxes, social security taxes, unemployment taxes, self-employment taxes, hotel taxes, license plate fees, Medicare taxes, utility taxes, and sports stadium taxes, to name just a few. So basically, if you earn it, you pay income tax. If you live somewhere, you pay property tax. If you spend it, you pay sales tax. If you save it, inflation tax. If you invest it, capital gains tax. If you start a business, license fees. If your business prospers, you pay profit tax. If you give it away, there's a gift tax. And in some states, if you die, inheritance tax. Once again, we're paying taxes on the money we earn, taxes on the money we spend, and taxes on things we already own that we already paid taxes on with already taxed money. Can you wrap your head around that, and why do we put up with it? There was a time when we didn't have to ask permission from the government or pay taxes to collect rainwater, go fishing, own a property, start a business, renovate a home, build a home, drive a vehicle, get married, hunt, own a weapon, cut hair, sell a product, protest, grow your own food on your own property, set up a lemonade stand, or sell food. Today, you can do virtually nothing without being extorted by the government and obtaining their permission first. Now I'm going to quote some song lyrics for you. Now, I'm not advocating for the songwriter or the band, but in 1966, the Beatles released the song Taxman, written by George Harrison. He got this one right. The song is written from the taxman's point of view, and the taxman says, "Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me, 'cause I'm the taxman. Yeah, I'm the taxman. Should 5% appear too small, be thankful I don't take it all, 'cause I'm the tax man. If you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you try to sit, I'll tax your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your feet. Don't ask me what I want it for if you don't want to pay some more, 'cause I'm the tax man." And it ends with, "Now my advice for those who die, declare the pennies on your eyes, 'cause I'm the tax man, and you're working for no one but me, tax man." Now, recently, with the implementation of the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, that agency has reportedly abruptly stopped the wasteful spending of $115 billion so far. They're still rooting out obscene government waste and fraud, and I can only say it's about time, because America is already more than $36 trillion in debt that we can never repay. Meanwhile, Americans pay a total of $2.6 trillion annually in federal income tax. But in March, Congress passed yet another continuing resolution setting the discretionary spending budget at $1.6 trillion. This includes an increase of $7 billion in deficit spending. As citizens, we're required to be fiscally responsible. We all know the government is not. If the government was an individual, it would have such a low credit score, it wouldn't qualify for even a payday loan, or car title loan, or even an advance from a shady mafia loan shark. They tell us our Social Security, Medicare, and welfare systems are broke, along with FEMA, which spent all of its money on illegal aliens. But somehow, there's always been plenty of money that appears out of thin air to cover the ever-growing deficit and to spend on pet projects and foreign aid to 187 other countries around the world. Now, you can argue that we're living once again under taxation without representation, and you can argue that the 16th Amendment was never properly ratified by the states all you want, but try not paying your taxes and see what happens. So my question is, why do we pay taxes when the federal government has been giving free money to every special interest group and nearly every foreign country in the world, racking up trillions in debt with literally nothing to back it up and with absolutely no accountability to anyone? The average citizen, and especially those who own a business or operate a ministry, must account for every single jot and tittle of their income and then hand over a substantial amount of that money to the government. The IRS has thousands of agents to scrutinize every single cent we touch. Yet the government loses trillions in assets every day, spends trillions that don't even exist, and there is no audit, no accountability, no nothing. And why do we even have cash and coins anymore in the first place? We know it's only a matter of time before the digital currencies are rolled out, giving the globalists and big government even more power, surveillance, and control over every aspect of our lives. Well, it's because having cash and coins allows us peasants to maintain the illusion that actual money still exists. In reality, it's only digits anyway. And there will come a time, sooner rather than later, that our paper money will become more valuable as fire starter so we can stay warm. Yes, I am glad that Dodge is supposedly stopping the government waste and fraud in some areas. But when is our government going to start paying down the debt, rather than passing endless continuing resolutions that just continue to enslave American workers? You know, they're very clever about it all. The average dumbed-down citizen remains blissfully unconcerned about all this because taxes are withheld from their paychecks every week. So they never miss what they never see. Then they're gleeful when they get their refund checks after filing taxes. Understand, this is money the government took and used interest-free throughout the year. And then they simply return the excess they borrowed from you when you file your mandatory taxes. And people are thankful to get the refund checks. Personally, I haven't had an income tax refund since 1988. If people had to pay their taxes quarterly, like businesses and ministries do, they would see just how much is being stolen from them, and they'd revolt. Instead, they celebrate when they get the refunds. What a scam. On June 4th of 1963, John F. Kennedy signed Executive Order 11110, which returned to the U.S. government the power to issue currency and did away with the so-called Federal Reserve System. Kennedy was killed on November 22nd of that year, just 5 months later. And Kennedy's dead body was not even cold yet when Lyndon Johnson rescinded that order, keeping Americans enslaved to the Rothschild banking system and ensuring the eventual bankruptcy of our nation. In America today, we labor under a heavy burden of taxation with no representation, although our Constitution assures us of our right to a redress of grievances. That right, like so many others, has gone the way of the horse and buggy. So we dutifully and carefully file our taxes, being sure to declare every single cent we earn. We go along with the illusion that America isn't hopelessly beyond bankrupt, even as our crooked politicians continue to heap ever heavier burdens on our backs, on our children's backs, and our grandchildren's backs, should they live long enough to survive in the new communist America. It's time for another American revolution. It's time to hold our public servants accountable for their crimes. The Department of Government Efficiency is perhaps a step in the right direction, but I'm afraid we're only being allowed to see this to give us the illusion of some tiny morsel of hope that things are turning around for the better. I have little faith that the federal beast will ever rein in the unaccountable spending sprees, or that our so-called representatives in Congress will ever pay the piper for their fiscal irresponsibility. Our public servants have rules for thee, but not for me. Bottom line, if the average American citizen handled their money the way our federal government does, they'd be in prison. But it's even worse than that. Imagine if the average American citizen handled someone else's money the way that our federal government handles our money. They'd be behind bars the rest of their lives. They'd never see the light of day again. But again, rules for thee, but not for me. April 15 is coming, folks, and you'd better have your papers in order. If you don't, beware the tax man. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com and ask for message number 460.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.